Pastor Ray Bentley has practical encouragement today for those living lives that fall a bit short of happily ever after.
Would you agree with me that life can be frustrating? And sometimes you just get overwhelmed. You get angry. It's not easy to be married and keep your head, to have children and keep your head. Life isn't easy. It's going to be hard. So stand up. Be a man of God. Be a woman of God. That's part of the deal until we get to heaven.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. As old movies came to an end, the problems were solved, the orchestra swelled to a crescendo, and the camera slowly zoomed back as we left the hero and heroine to live happily ever after. Reality is a bit more complicated. And today, Pastor Ray shows us how God's Word can handle our reality.
2 Timothy chapter 4, a time to speak. Paul the Apostle, these are his last words, his last letter. Now we're to the last chapter. These are the Apostle Paul's last words. He's sitting in a prison cell in Rome. He's writing to a young man, his best friend, a young man named Timothy, his protege. These are his last words and his last thoughts. And this is what he says to Timothy. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, Timothy. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables or mythology. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at the coming of his kingdom, preach the word, Timothy. Preach the word. And how he wants him to preach the word, but he says, I charge you to preach the word in the presence of God, in the presence of your Father and the heart of your Father in heaven, in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, preach the word. I have a feeling that Paul was very well aware that Timothy was a young guy that I think many of us can relate to. He did not think that highly of himself. I think that he had great love and admiration and respect and probably awe for his mentor, the Apostle Paul. But when he thought of himself, he did not think so highly. He was by nature rather shy, an introvert, you might say, but who had great gifts, great calling, and great responsibility. And Timothy knew Paul was in prison. Timothy knew there had already been word given and prophecies given, and Paul had already even intimated to him, look, Timothy, there's not going to be any grand deliverance this time. It had happened before. Angels had come, gates had been open, escapes had taken place, but not this time. Paul said, Timothy, I'm going to die. It's okay. I'm going to die as a martyr. I will go to heaven. I cannot wait. I've been there. I've seen it. Don't worry about me. I'm looking forward to it. But I think Timothy had this sense that, oh no, when Paul is gone, who am I? I can't battle the spiritual warfare and the demons and the Roman Empire and the pagan influence everywhere. Timothy was a pastor of a, you know, significant but outnumbered group of believers in an extremely immoral pagan city of Ephesus. And I'm sure that Timothy thought to himself often, what difference am I? And what difference am I making? And what I am doing seems so insignificant. And I'm not up to the task. I cannot do it. He was prone to despair and quitting. He's kind of giving up. So Paul, as it were, reaches through the pages of his letter that he writes in person, and he is placing his hands through this letter on Timothy, his son, and his best friend's shoulders. He's saying, look me in the eye. I charge you, Timothy, in the presence of the Father in heaven and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge everyone, the living and the dead. Timothy, you will give an account for your life. Preach the word. Trust in the word. Deliver the word of God. It has power, Timothy. Yes, you get faint, you get weak, but the word of God remains. It's firm. It's as powerful as God. It's as strong as God. It's as mighty as a river. It flows with life. It has the power to heal and to save and to deliver and to lead and to guide and to comfort, to minister, to bring heaven on earth. Preach the word, Timothy. And no doubt, as Timothy felt this way, one of the things that Paul wanted to help bring to Timothy's awareness, and something probably he had grown into his whole life as he walked with the Lord, is he pulled the veil back. He pulled the veil back. You look around and you see in this place, and you see, okay, we've got some pews, and there's some people sitting here, and then there's this middle part that kind of goes up. It's got a metal roof, and there's some curtains, and there's this dove and a pulpit and a guy speaking. Okay, I can see all of that. Let me tell you what you cannot see that is here this morning. The Lord God Almighty is here this morning. The presence of the Lord God Almighty is here. Jesus Christ is here. He said, wherever two or three gather in my name, there am I in the midst. Let me tell you something else. There are as many angels here as there are human beings. I do believe that God gives guardian angels. I think that all of us have at least one. And some of you, because you are rascals, have two and some need three. And you will meet them when you get to heaven, and they will say, thank God you finally made it. Many times I crimped my wings, saving you on the freeways and all the rest of it. How many of you have had a near-death experience? Let me just see. You were delivered. Life is very fragile. You are here for a purpose. You have no idea how easily. The Bible says that your breath is in the hands of God, and we are to be reminded of that. You know, the people that are outside and in San Diego, and it's a beautiful place, and doing whatever they are doing this morning that are not thinking of God or honoring God or believing in God or anything else, they do not realize every breath they take comes from the hand of God. Every last breath. And one day we will give an account for our lives. So the fact of the matter is that God is watching us, and Jesus is watching us. In fact, we have a great cloud of witnesses that are watching us. It is called in the Bible a theater or a spectacle. In your notes, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. Yes? Let's read that scripture out loud. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last, as men condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. Angels are watching, not just men. Angels are watching what's going on. And the fact of the matter is, and I know that, like right now on television, there are a few of these shows that are very popular, and the ones that get the highest ratings, for the most part, a lot of them these days, are the ones where America's watching and you get to, you know, vote or text in, or, you know, whatever your vote on, let's say, American Idol and singing, and then they start with all these people and all these crazy people that can't even sing worth a bean. But then they work their way down to the ones that can sing. And then it gets narrower and narrower, and now it's just a few. And even the ideas that are within families, one is, you know, in the family saying, oh, that guy can sing, and the other one saying, are you crazy? That girl is the one that's gonna win. And so everybody's involved, and they're all watching, and it gets narrower and narrower, and finally, you know, down to the handful, and they pick the one. And people are involved in that, watching and involved. Or, you know, another one, I guess, is called The Amazing Race. So they're racing, and people get in that. Or Dancing with the Stars, and they have these couples, and so you pick the ones that you like. And there's this involvement that they're trying to get is, if they can get the audience involved, you're not just passively sitting there, then that gets all these people. Well, let me tell you something. In heaven, there is one channel on all the time. It's called Planet Earth. There are 7 billion people that participate in this channel. And all the saints who have gone before us are, as it were, sitting in the grandstands watching and participating and seeing what's going on. Well, the saints are watching. Actually, the angels have a participatory role because the Bible says they are ministering spirits. Angels watch, yes, but they also involve themselves. They minister, they do things. They are with us and around us and behind the scenes at all times. So Paul is saying to Timothy, you do not realize. It's like the prophet in the Old Testament who took on this king and knew everything about this king and kept telling Israel, here's their plans, here's what they're going to do, here's where they're hiding, here's where they're waiting, here's what time they're coming. He gave them all these details. So Israel kept winning. And then they said, well, man, this guy knows everything about what you're doing. He even knows what you say in your bedchamber. And the guy freaked out. He goes, I want to get this guy. And so he brings his army surrounding on these mountains. So here's the little prophet in his tent down in the valley. And his servant comes out and he says, no, master, the armies are here. Yikes, we're going to die. And the prophet just looks at his servant. He says, oh, Lord, my poor, poor servant. Open his eyes now that he might see what's actually going on. For there are more for us than there are for them. So on this little hill, you see this group, a little army. And then beyond that is this vast host of angels. There'll be more for us than be for them. Timothy, if you only see through the human lens, you are limiting yourself. You will live the rest of your life in fear, discouragement, despair, retreating. No, young son. My son in the faith, God is with you. God is with you, watching you. Jesus is beside you. The angels are involved. God has given them the ability to assist and minister to you. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. The kingdom is come. It shall be established. Preach the word and watch. God loves to deliver with few even more as with many, because he gets all of the glory and the credit. Now he goes on to tell us how to preach the word. He says, Timothy, preach the word in season and out of season, number one. And what does that mean? That means preach the word whether you feel like it or not. And may I say that there are times when I don't feel like it. Sometimes I don't feel like it, and I'm laying there saying, I don't want to go to church today. And Vicky's saying, no, you have to go to church today. I go, why? And she goes, well, because you're the preacher. When I was in high school, and I was going to share the Lord had told me to start sharing my faith with others. And so there was a little book called The Four Spiritual Laws. Anybody ever heard of that from Campus Crusade? And Law 1, God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. Law 2, you're a sinner separated from God. Law 3, Christ died for our sins. Law 4, you can have a personal relationship with God, and all these little diagrams. So that I was going to use that rather than do it myself cold turkey. So I got one of my friends. It was toward the end of my senior year, and we're out on the quad of our high school, and it was warm. It was about 2,000 students, you know, running around, laughing, throwing food, goofing off. I come up to my friend who's wearing his, he was a football guy, Letterman's jacket, and I said, hey, have you ever heard of the Four Spiritual Laws? I mean, I was so scared. And he goes, no. And I go, would you mind if I shared it with you? And in my mind, I heard him say no, and I said, okay, I didn't think so, and I'm ready to walk away. And he goes, no, yeah, sure, what is it? So I was like, really? I said, well, let's sit down. So we sat down, I put my head down, and I read. I never looked up the entire time. There were times where I would ask questions. I never waited for an answer. I just went on and on and on and on. I read everything. And I had this feeling in my mind that halfway through me reading this, this is what was going on in my mind. I saw him get up and tiptoe away and stand over with all the rest of the football team laughing at me sharing my faith. That's what I saw in my mind. So I'm terrified to get to the end because I don't want to look up. I just wanted to fall and disappear into a crack in the floor. But I got to the end, I even read, you know, copyright 1974, whatever it was. It's nothing more to read. And so I looked up. Shock of all shocks, he's still there. And not only was he still there, but tears are rolling off of his cheeks. And I will never forget that as long as I live. What a powerful lesson, because I knew it had nothing to do with me. I was speed reading. I was just going through it. I was terrified. There was no inflection in my voice, just monotone going through. But in that little tract were verses of the Bible and the Word of God. And God just said, hey, I'll use anything. Whatever you give him, I've found God will use. Whatever you give him, he will use, no matter how little it might be. And he took it, and he did a surgery on this guy's heart right before me. This guy opened up. I'd known him for 4 years. He starts sharing with me about his mom and his parents, and they're getting a divorce, and his sister's got problems, and his family's falling apart, and he's graduating, and he is so depressed. He's like thinking, what is there to live for? So I'm like, do you want to pray and ask Jesus into your heart? And he goes, you bet I do. And he gave his life to the Lord. And so then I was walking around going, hey, anybody, hey, you want to hear? But honestly, as it turned out, the 8 of my friends in a row accepted Jesus Christ. And I started to see the power of the Word. Just preach the Word. It doesn't need anything. The Word will do everything itself. And so in season and out of season, whether you feel like it, when you don't feel it, convince. This is applied to the mind. Yes, we have been given minds. Reason intellectually, answer questions, teach with passion or share with passion, remove obstacles. And you should, when you share from your heart and what you have received from the Lord. Paul says, that which I've received from the Lord, now I share with you. Spurgeon used to say to young preachers, when you're talking about heaven, and you're preaching about heaven, let your face show what you're talking about, heaven. As opposed to, well, there's a doctrine of heaven, and if you don't go to heaven, you're going to hell and you're going to die. And this monotone, boring, weird, you know, how do you relate to that? If you're talking about heaven, talk about heaven. I'm going to heaven. I want to be in heaven. I want to see my family that have died, and when I get there. He said, on the other hand, if you're talking about hell, your normal face will do. Why are you laughing at that? I'm wondering. Thirdly, rebuke. Part of being a friend, and may I say part of love, in this world where it's fallen world, how many would admit this world is broken? Broken. Broken world. Part of that means that you have to address things that are broken. Now, the mythology of the New Age kind of feel-good spirituality is basically sending a message that you don't need to change. In fact, there's a religion for you, there's a spirituality for you, which basically will wrap itself around exactly where you are, the way you are, and you never have to change one iota the rest of your life. There is a religion that will fit exactly that deal. Christianity comes and God says, no, I love you as you are with all your sins and fissures and brokenness, but things have got to change. And the reason that the world is broken is because individuals are broken, and the way that you get healed is to address the cracks and the fissures in our lives. And that comes by reproof, loving reproof, correction, coming up. And you know, when you raise children, you have to spend time with them and say, don't do that. You can't put, you know, try to put the fork or the knife into the light switch. No. And whatever it takes to protect them. No, you cannot run into the street when a ball goes out there. No. There's correction, and it's not easy, and all the things that we have to teach children, and they don't appreciate it, and they don't like all the correction that comes along. And sometimes you have to just tell them, because they're always asking, well, why? And the older they get, the more sophisticated the questions. And you're trying to answer, and sometimes you just have to say, because I said so. I can't explain it to you. You won't get it until you are in my shoes. And it's amazing how when children finally grow up, then they have families of their own, they go, wow, now I know. But you have to reprove. That's part of love. Encouragement with great patience and careful instruction, which basically means doctrine. Don't be afraid of doctrine. Doctrine just means teaching. What do we believe? What should we believe? How should we live? How should we then live? So convince, Yes, sometimes reprove. If somebody reproves you, it doesn't mean they don't love you. In fact, it may mean, in fact, that they do love you. But do it in loving, patient, long-suffering, carefully. And then he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables or mythology. There's a lot of that going around. Whatever you want to hear, you can find a message, a tape, a book, a seminar, a spirituality that will fit that. But in the long run, you will have robbed yourself of great things. Closing with verse 5, but you, Timothy, be watchful. In other words, don't be like that. You, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. I like how the NIV puts it, but you, Timothy, keep your head in all situations. Don't lose your head. Would you agree with me that life can be frustrating? Extremely frustrating. And sometimes you just get overwhelmed. You get angry. You get frustrated. You just can hardly stand it. That's human. That has nothing to do with spirituality. That's just being human in a fallen and a broken world. But what you do with it. We have seen recently in our own country several examples in the last week of people who have taken anger and either as with a literal gun or a verbal gun destroyed things and destroyed lives. Timothy, don't be like that. You keep your head. It's not easy to be married and keep your head, to have children and keep your head, to be working with crazy people in the world and keep your head. But it's important to keep your head. Don't lose your control in that situation, and therefore it makes you depend on the Lord. Endure hardship. In other words, it's not easy. Life isn't easy. It's going to be hard. So, buck up. Stand up. Be a man of God. Be a woman of God. That's part of the deal until we get to heaven. Do the work of an evangelist. Share the good news, Timothy. It's not your strongest suit, but do it, and do it passionately, and do it urging men and women to come to Christ, for he will judge us one day, and he is coming soon. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Be as faithful as you possibly can. Amen.
Good, strong encouragement. First from Paul to Timothy, and to us here in the 21st century. Pastor Ray Bentley with our studies in 2 Timothy here on Maranatha Radio. Now, today's broadcast is available on CD for just $7. Get in touch and ask for the message called A Time to Speak. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in 2 Timothy on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your book, The Holy Land Key, and there's so much to learn from your insights, so many eye-opening facts. How do you hope that this information will change us once we've read it?
Well, that's a great question, Dave. I think as the world is focusing on the Middle East with all these refugees and the millions running every which way, and by the way, millions of them coming to faith in Jesus Christ, God wants to give us a lens to be able to see what he's doing on the earth right now. And the lens for the prophecy of his return is Israel. And that's what the book really goes into detail about.
How did this book change you as you researched it and wrote it?
Boy, I learned some things that I didn't know. Even being a pastor for decades, I learned some new revelations, some new layers of looking at Israel, looking at it geopolitically, what God is doing on the earth right now, and the promises that he has given. And it just put a fire in my heart to want to live for the Lord and want to share my faith with my friends and family.
All right. Well, we're talking about Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key. It's a book that belongs in your library. It's available to our listeners for just $10. Write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in 2 Timothy. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.